the rest of the story. This is about an emerging nation, described by many in the civilized world as backward. And yet, that nation had already built for itself a palace, a symbol of achievement, a stone and mortar proclamation of their civility. It was an ill attempt at refinement, some said. It was just a front, for while there were in fact many in this fledgling nation who had imitated the society and the styles of more respected nations, there were also those who lived in the mountains, short-fused and unrefined peasantry. So it was bound to happen one night, and it did, when an army of rabble came down from the hills and stormed the palace. I said an army of rabble stormed the palace. It was March 4. There was a palace reception, a well-staffed affair of orange punch and white-jacketed waiters and clinking glasses. The police, assured of peace, had dropped their guard, were not prepared for what happened next. Outside, a roar of humanity. There were shots and there were shouts, and there was torchlight, the cacophonous din of undistinguishable voices. An attendant ran to the palace window. A mob of crudely clad men was swarming like ants in the street, approaching. They were led by a white-haired old warrior. And it was already too late, because within minutes they had made their way into the palace, knocking over those in their path. In the heat of the brawling fray, tables were toppled and a tidal wave of punch flowed out onto the carpets, and priceless china and cut glass clattered and crashed, and furniture was smashed, and many were wounded, and some fled. In the joy of a successful overthrow, the mob pressed toward their white-haired leader, cheering him, but now they were crushing. Now they were out of control, and stunned, the leader sought refuge. He tried to climb the mountain of ruffians, but could not. He escaped by a side entrance to the palace just in time. For soon thereafter, the mob had so overfilled the palace interior that all doors were jammed shut. Some scrambled for the windows, a few made it to safety, and the wild, thunderous demonstration of victory wore on into the night. By dawn, a scene of awesome devastation. Shattered glass and shredded draperies and cakes of mud from the boot heels of the assailants. Their elected leader, the white-haired warrior, the captor of the palace, had spent the night of this triumph in a nearby hotel. He had been chased out of the palace, spent the night in a nearby hotel. You say you've never heard of him? Oh, my. You've heard of the palace, the White House. That's right, this brash young nation whose palace was once stormed was the United States of America, and the night was March 4, 1829. The old general with the white hair whose army descended on the Capitol, the victorious soldier who led a mob of rough-hewn, bronze-skinned, tobacco-chewing woodsmen in what should have been a celebration, was President Andrew Jackson. And the haywire, half-cocked, misfired celebration was his own inauguration. And now you know the rest of the story.